Welcome to Dream， 欢迎大家回来继续聆听我们的亲爱的 Gay Dharmaras， 接着跟我们讲 Krishna Book。我们现在开始。OK，Yes。
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Today we are continuing with Chapter 20 of the Krishna Book entitled Description of Autumn.
今天呢，我们接着讲 Krishna Book 的第二十章，它的名字叫关于秋天的描述。
Before we begin, we will chant our invocation prayer.
在开始之前呢，我们来先唱诵一下祷文。
Krishna, 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 Rakshamam, Krishna, 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 Bahimam.Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahimam. O Lord Krishna, please protect me and maintain me.
O Krishna, 请保护我，请维系我。
O Lord Rama, descendant of King Raghu, please protect me.
O 主 Rama, Raghu 国王的后裔啊，请保护我。
O Krishna, O Keshava, killer of the Keshi demon, please maintain me.
O Krishna, O Keshava, Keshimo 的屠者，请维系我。
Okay, now we will continue our story.
我们现在接着讲故事。
So Prabhupada says that one becomes covered with the long grasses of Maya.
是妈妈就说一个人被这个 Maya 的这个很长的青。
In that condition, forgetful of his constitutional nature, he forgets his position of eternal servitorship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
处在这样一个处境当中呢，他就遗忘了自己的构成性特质，然后他就遗忘了自己作为至尊人格守神、永恒的仆人的这个地位。
By being deviated by the seasonal overgrowth of long grasses created by Maya.A person identifies himself with the Maya production and succumbs to illusion, forgetting his spiritual life.
那么当一个人因为被这个 Maya 所制造的长长的青草所覆盖之后呢，他就偏离了正道，然后他就把自己认同于这个 Maya 的产物，并且臣服于这个虚幻力量的这个影响，然后就忘记了灵修。
During the rainy season, lightning appears in one group of clouds, and then immediately in another group of clouds.
在雨季的时候呢，这个闪电啊，它会出现在一组云朵当中，然后立即它又出现在另外一个云朵当中。
This phenomenon is compared to a lusty woman who does not fix her mind on one man.
这种现象呢，就被比作一个充满色欲的女子，她没有将自己的心意完全专注于一个男子身上。
A cloud is compared to a qualified person because it pours rain and gives sustenance to many people.
一朵云呢，它就会比作为一个具有资格的人，一个具备资格的人，因为它会抛洒下雨水，并且去维系很多的人。
A man who is qualified similarly gives sustenance to many living creatures, such as family members or many workers in a business.
一个有资格的人，他类似的也会去维系很多的生物体，就比如说家庭成员啊，或者说商业上的很多工人。
Unfortunately, his whole life can be disturbed by a wife who divorces him.
但不幸的是，他的整个的生活就会被一个跟他离婚的妻子所受而干受到打扰。
When the husband is disturbed, the whole family is ruined. The children are dispersed, or the business is closed, and everything is affected.
当一个丈夫受到干扰的时候呢，整个家庭就毁灭了。那么他们的孩子也会四散，生意也会关门，然后一切都会受到影响。
It is therefore recommended that a woman desiring to advance in Krishna consciousness live peacefully with a husband.And that the couple not separate under any condition.
所以呢我们就推荐说，如果一个女子她渴望在 Krishna 世界当中进步的话，她就应该平和的和丈夫生活在一起，而且呢这对夫妻在任何的情况下都不应该分开。
The husband and wife should control sex indulgence and concentrate their minds on Krishna consciousness so their life may be successful.
就这一对夫妻应该去控制他们对性欲对性生活的这种纵容，而且呢把他们的心意完全专注于 Krishna 知觉当中，这样呢他们的生活就能获得成功。
After all, in the material world, a man requires a woman and a woman requires a man.
毕竟说来，在这个物质世界，一个男子同需要一个女子，而一个女子呢，她也需要一个男子。
When they are combined, they should live peacefully in Krishna consciousness and should not be restless like the lightning, flashing from one group of thoughts to another.
那么当他们结合的时候，他们就应该平和的一起生活在 Krishna 知觉当中，而不应该像这闪电一样摇晃不安，从一组云彩闪到另外一种云彩。
Sometimes, in addition to the roaring thunder of clouds, there is an appearance of a rainbow which stands as a bow without a string.
有的时候呢，除了这个发出轰隆声的这种雷声以外，有的时候还会出现一朵这个彩虹。这个彩虹呢，就像一个弓一样，但没有弦。
Actually, a bow is in the curved position because it is tied at its two ends by the bowstring.
事实上呢，这个弓呢，它是处在一个弯曲的形状，因为它的两端是由这个弓弦所拉起来的，所拉紧的。
But in the rainbow, there is no such string, and yet it rests in the sky so beautifully.
但是呢，这个彩虹上面却没有这个弓弦。那么所以呢但是它仍然就非常美丽的停留在天空。
Similarly, when the Supreme Personality of God descends to this material world, he appears just like an ordinary human being, but he is not resting on any material condition.
同样的，当至尊人格首身降临到这个物质世界的时候，他看起来好像是一个普通的人，但事实上他并不停留或者栖息在任何物质的条件之上。
In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that he appears by his internal potency, which is free from the bondage of the external potency.
主在博迦梵歌里说到，他是由于他的内在能量而显现，而他的内在的能量呢，是脱离他外在能量的束缚的。
What is bondage for the ordinary creature is freedom for the personality of Godhead.
对于普通的生物体来说是束缚，但是对于人格首身来说却是自由。
In the rainy season, the moonlight is covered by clouds, but is visible at intervals.
在雨季的时候，这个月光会受到云朵的覆盖，但是呢，就在云朵散开的时候，就能看得见这个月光。
It sometimes appears that the moon is moving with the movement of the clouds.
有的时候看起来这个月亮似乎是在和这个云朵一样一起移动。
But actually, the moon is still due to the clouds, it also appears to move.
但事实上，这个月亮是停留不动的。但是呢，只是因为这个云朵，所以它看起来好像是在移动。
Similarly, for one who has identified himself with the moving material world, his actual spiritual luster is covered by illusion.
同样的，如果一个人把自己认同于这个移动的物质世界的话，那么他真实的灵性的光芒就会受到虚幻的覆盖。
With the movement of material activities, he thinks that he is moving through different spheres of life.
然而因为这个物质活动的不断的变化，所以呢，他也会认为自己在和不同的生命的状态也在不断的移动。
This is due to false ego, which is the demarcation between spiritual and material existence, just as the moving cloud is the demarcation between moonlight and darkness.
这是由于假我，那么因为这个假我呢是灵性和物质存在的区别，就好像移动的云彩也是月光和黑暗的区别一样。
In the rainy season, when the clouds appear for the first time, the peacocks dance with joy upon seeing them.
那么在雨季的时候，当这个云朵第一次出现的时候，在 看到他们的显出现之后呢，这个孔雀就会开始喜乐的起舞。
Peacocks can be compared to persons who are very much harassed in the materialistic way of life.
这孔雀就可以比作为那些在物质的物质生活方式当中就受到很多的干扰的人。
If they can find the association of a person engaged in loving devotional service of the Lord, they become enlightened and dance just like peacocks.
如果他们能够找到，如果他们的或者能够发现，从事对主的爱心服务的人的联谊的话，那么他们就会像，他们就会受到开悟，并且呢，就像孔雀一样，他们也会开始起舞。
We have practical experience of this. Many of our students were dry and morose previous to their coming to Krishna consciousness, but having come into contact with devotees, they are now dancing like jubilant peacocks.
我们对这个也有实际的体验，因为有我们很多的学生，在他们来到 Krishna 知觉之前，都是枯干而且非常哀伤的。但是呢，当他们接触到奉献者之后呢，他们现在就好像喜乐的孔雀一样，在翩翩起舞。
Plants and creepers grow by drinking water from the ground.
植物和蔓藤是通过从地上吸水而成长。
Similarly, a person practicing austerities becomes dry.
同样的，一个苦修的人，他会变得枯干。
But after the austere performances are completed and he gets the result, he begins to enjoy life in sense gratification with family, society, love, home, and other paraphernalia.
但是呢，在他们的这个苦修结束之后呢，他就会得到结果，然后他就会开始享受感官享乐的这种生活，比如说和家人、和社会、和爱、和他们的爱人、家庭以及其他的这个设备一起来享受。
He becomes jolly like newly grown plants and grass.
他会就像一个就是所有的青草啊，就是一样的，非常的喜乐。
Sometimes it is seen that cranes and ducks meander continually on the banks of the lakes and rivers, although the banks are filled with muddy garbage and thorny creepers.
有的时候好像看起来好像这些仙鹤、这些鸭子啊，它们好像在这个湖边或者河岸上不断的四处游荡，但是虽然说这个河岸其实上面是充满了泥泞的那种垃圾，还有充满荆棘的蔓藤。
Similarly, persons who are householders without Krishna consciousness are constantly tearing in material life in spite of all kinds of inconveniences.
同样的，那些没有 Krishna 知觉的居士，他们就在不断的在物质生活当中打滚，虽然说有很多的各种各样的不方便的地方。
In family life or any life, one cannot be perfectly happy without being Krishna conscious.
不管是在家庭生活还是在其他的生活当中，如果一个人没有 Krishna 知觉的话，他不可能变得完全的快乐。
Srila Narottam Das Thakur prays that he will have the association of a person, either a householder or a man in the renounced order of life.Who is engaged in the transcendent loving service of the Lord and is always crying the holy name of Lord Chaitanya.
Srila Narottam Das Thakur 在祈祷自己能够得到这样一个人的联谊，不管是居士还是一个处在就是能够得到一个不管是居士还是处在气绝阶段的人的联谊，不管只要他是处在对于主的爱心超然爱心服务当中就行，而且一直是在呼唤主Chaitanya的圣名。
For a materialistic person, worldly affairs become too aggressive, whereas to a person who is in Krishna consciousness, everything appears to be happily situated.
对一个物质主义者来说，世俗的事物变得对他来说太过可怕。但是呢，对一个处在 Krishna 知觉当中的人来说，不管任何的事情似乎都是，就是不管发生什么事，他都快乐的生活在其中。
The barriers around an agricultural field sometimes break due to heavy torrents of rain.
有的时候就在狂风大作的狂风暴雨出现的时候呢，这个农田的这个地的里面的这个界限就会打破。
Similarly, the unauthorized atheistic propaganda in the age of Kali breaks the boundary of the Vedic injunctions.
同样的，在这个卡利年代，这些未被授权的无神论的这些媒介、这些宣传。 也会打破韦达逊式的界限。
Thus people gradually degenerate to godlessness.
这样的人们就逐渐的不断的堕落，直至成为无神论者。
In the rainy season, the clouds tossed by the wind deliver water which is welcome like nectar.
在雨季的时候呢，就这个云朵就被这个风吹的四处的游动，它发出了这个云朵，然后掉下来的水就会像甘露一样受欢迎。
When the Vedic followers, the Brahmanas, inspire rich men like kings and members of the wealthy mercantile family community to give charity in the performance of great sacrifices, the distribution of such wealth is also nectarian.
那么当这些韦达逊的追随者还有婆罗门，他们就会去鼓舞那些像国王啊，或者说很富裕的这些商人，这些富裕的人的这些社团。为了举行巨大的祭祀而做出布施，那么这样的派发，这样的这种对财富的派发呢，也像甘露一样。
The four sections of human society, namely the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, and the Sudras, are meant to live peacefully in a cooperative mood.
这个人类社会的四个阶层，也就是说婆罗门、刹帝利、Vaishya 和 Sudra。他们本来应该是处在一个合作的心态，平和的生活的。
This is possible when they are guided by expert Vedic Brahmanas who perform sacrifices and distribute wealth equally.
那么，当他们得到这些非常精于伟达精通伟达经的婆罗门，而且这些婆罗门应该是在平等的去从事祭祀以及派发财富。那么当他们得到这样的人的指导的时候，这就变得可能了。
Vrindavan forest improved from the rains and was replete with ripened dates, mangoes, blackberries, and other fruits.
那么 Vrindavan 的森林呢，当有这个雨水下来的时候，到处都充满了这些成熟的枣子、芒果，还有黑莓以及其他的果实的时候呢， Vrindavan 森林就变得更好了。
Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead,along with his boyfriends and Lord Balaram entered the forest to enter the new seasonal atmosphere.
主 Krishna 就至尊人格守神和他的这些男朋友以及主 Balarama 一起进到森林里面去享受这个季节气氛，这个新来的季节的气氛。
The cows being fed by new grasses became very healthy, and their milk bags were all very full.
那么当这些奶牛他们吃到了新鲜的青草的时候呢，他们变得非常的健康，他们这个奶袋就非常的满。
When Lord Krishna called them by name, they immediately came to him out of affection, and in their joyful condition, the milk flowed from their bags.
当时 Krishna 呼唤他们的名字的时候，他们立即就出于爱心，立即来到 Krishna 面前。在这种喜乐的状况下呢，他们的这个牛。那个牛奶都从他们的奶袋里面流了出来。
Lord Krishna was very much pleased when passing through the Vrindavan forest by the site of Govardhan Hill.
主 Krishna 当他在哥瓦丹的山旁边经过这个 Vrindavan 森林的时候，他非常高兴。
On the bank of the Jamuna, he saw all the trees decorated with beehives pouring honey.
在仰慕的河边，他看到这个树这些所有的树啊，都装饰着在抛洒蜂蜜的这些蜂窝。
There are many waterfalls on Govardhan Hill, and their flowing made a nice sound.
在哥瓦丹的山上有很多的瀑布，这个瀑布流下来的时候发出了很美妙的声音。
Krishna heard them as he looked into the caves of the hill.
那么当 Krishna 看到这个山洞，看进山洞的时候，他就听到这些声音。
When the rainy season was not ended completely, but was gradually turning to autumn, sometimes, especially when there was rainfall within the forest, Krishna and his companions would sit under a tree or within the cave of Govardhan Hill and enjoy eating the ripened fruits and talking with great pleasure.
当这个雨季还没有完全结束，但是呢，在逐渐的转向秋天的时候，那有的时候呢，尤其是当这个森林里面有下雨的时候， Krishna 和他的同伴们就会坐在一棵树下，或者在哥瓦丹的山的一个山洞里面，那他们就开始享受吃这些成熟的果实， 并且非常快乐地互相谈话。
When Krishna and Balaram were in the forest, Mother Yashoda used to send them some fruits, sweetmeats, and rice mixed with yogurt.
当 Krishna 和 Balarama 整天都在森林里的时候呢，亚瑟的妈妈就曾经会经常会给他们送一些，拌着酸奶、水果和甜品的这些米饭。
Krishna would take them, sit down on a slab of stone on the bank of Jamuna, and call his friends to join him.
那么 Krishna 呢，他就会来接受这些食物，然后坐在亚穆纳河岸旁边的一块石头上，开始吃起来，并且邀请他的朋友们也跟他一起吃。
While Krishna and Balaram and their friends were eating, they watched the cows, calves, and bulls.
当 Krishna 和 Balarama 和朋友们在一起吃饭的时候呢，他们就看着这些奶牛、牛犊还有公牛。
The cows appeared to be a little tired from standing with their heavy milk bags.
那么因为这些奶牛他们就身上有着沉重的奶袋，就一直站在那，好像 是有点疲惫了。
By sitting and chewing grass, they became happy and Krishna was pleased to see them.
那么他们当这样坐下来的，一边在嚼着青草的时候，他们就变得开心了。Krishna 看他们呢也很高兴。
He was proud to see the beauty of the forest due to the rainy season, which was nothing but the manifestation of his own energy.
那他很高兴，他非常看着最美丽的森林的这种美丽，他非常的骄傲，因为这一切的美丽其实不过是他自己能量的展示。
At such times, Krishna would praise nature's special activities during the rainy season.
在这样的时候呢 ，Krishna 就会赞美，在雨季的这种大自然的特别活动。
It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita that the material energy or nature is not independent in its actions.
国家梵歌里说到，物质能量或者说大自然并不是，它的活动并不是独立的。
Nature is acting under the superintendence of Krishna.
大自然其实也是在 Krishna 的监控或者说看管之下在活动。
This is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, which states that the material nature, known as Durga, is acting as the shadow of Krishna.
这个在 Brahma Samhita 里面有确证说，物质自然就被称作为是 Durga， 它也其实呢也是作为 Krishna 的影子在活动。
Whatever order is sent from Krishna, material nature obeys.
Krishna 不管发出什么样的命令，物质自然都会遵守。
Therefore, the natural beauty created by the rainy season was acted out according to the indications of Krishna, who thus felt very proud of material nature's beautiful activities.
所以呢，这个雨季所产生的这种自然美啊，其实也是按照 Krishna 的暗示而在发生的。所以呢 ，Krishna 就非常被这森林的美丽而以这个森林的美丽而骄傲。
While Krishna and Balaram were enjoying the gifts of the rainy season in this way, the autumn season gradually arrived.
那么当 Krishna 和 Balaram 在这样享受这个森林的时候呢，这个秋天就渐渐到来了。
All the water reservoirs become very clean, and when pleasing and refreshing, and then.Pleasing and refreshing air blows everywhere.
那么很快的这个雨水的这个水就变得非常的干净，非常的宜人，而这种让人清新的空气呢也在四处飘洒。
With the appearance of autumn, the sky was completely cleared of all clouds and it recovered its natural blue color.
那么这个秋季的出现呢，随着这个秋季的出现，这个天空就完完全全没有。就万里无云，而且它是受到这个自然的蓝色的覆盖，恢复了它的自然的蓝色。
The blooming lotus flowers and the clear water in the forest appear like persons who have fallen down from yoga practice, but have again become beautiful by resuming their spiritual life.
在清澈的水森林里面，清澈的水里面，这种绽放的莲花看起来就好像是一个从瑜伽休息当中堕落下来的人，但是呢现在他又恢复了他的灵修而变得美丽了。
Everything becomes naturally beautiful with the appearance of the autumn season.
随着秋季的出现，一切都变得天然的美丽。
Similarly, When a materialistic person takes to Krishna consciousness in spiritual life, he also becomes as clear as the sky and water in autumn.
同样的，当一个物质主义者接受了 Krishna 知觉，接受了灵性生活的时候呢，他也会像天空，或者说在秋季的水一样清澈。
The autumn season takes away the rolling of the dark clouds in the sky as well as the polluted water.
这个秋季它会带走空中这种滚动的乌云，也会带走这个污染的水。
Filthy conditions on the ground also become plants.
地面上的这个污染的这种状况呢，也会被清除干净。
Similarly,A person who takes to Krishna consciousness immediately becomes cleansed of all dirty things within and without.
同样的，一个接受了 Krishna 知觉的人，也会立即从内在到外在都完完全全，他所有的污染都会得到清洁。
Krishna is therefore known as Hari.
所以呢 ，Krishna 就被称之为 Hari.
Hari means he who takes away.
Hari 的意思是一个带走的人。
Krishna immediately takes away all unclean habits from anyone who takes to Krishna consciousness.
一个人只要一接受 Krishna 知觉 ，Krishna 立即就会带走他所有不洁净的习惯。
The clouds of autumn are white, but they do not carry any water.
秋季的云朵它是白色的，因为它不会携带任何的水分。
Similarly, a retired man being freed from all responsibility of family affairs, namely maintaining the home, wife, and children.And taking completely to Krishna consciousness becomes free from all anxieties and looks as white as clouds in autumn.
同样的，一个退休的人，因为他这个时候他已经免于了所有家庭事务的责任，比如说维持家庭、妻子、孩子啊等等这些责任，然后他们完全的接受了休息 Krishna 的知觉，这样呢，他就完全摆脱了所有的各种各样的焦虑，就看起来就像。秋季的云朵一样白。
Sometimes in autumn, the falls come down from the top of the hill to supply clean water, and sometimes they stop.
有的时那个秋季的当中，有的时候呢，瀑布就会从这个山顶这样流淌下来。
Similarly, sometimes great sainted persons.
有的时候他们会停止下来。Sorry.
Similarly, sometimes great saintly persons distribute clear knowledge and sometimes they are silent.
同样的，有一些伟大的圣人，他们有的时候会派发或者说会分享非常让人清晰的知识，有的时候呢，他们就保持安静。
The small ponds, which were filled with water because of the rainy season, gradually dry up in autumn.
那么在雨季充满的这种小池塘充满了水的这种小池塘呢，在秋季就会逐渐的干枯起来。
As for the small aquatics living in the reservoirs, they cannot understand that their ponds are diminishing day by day, as the material and gross persons cannot understand that their duration of life is being reduced day by day.
那么，至于那些生活在这个池塘里的这些小小的生物体呢，他们无法理解为什么他们的数量在一天一天减少。就好像是一个完全沉溺在物质生活当中的人，他们也无法理解为什么他们的寿命也在一天天的减少。
Such persons are engaged in maintaining cows, property, children, wife, society, and friendship.
这种人呢，他们就会忙着去维持自己的奶牛啊、财产啊，还有孩子、妻子、社会，还有友谊。
Due to the reduced water and scorching heat from the sun in the autumn season.The small creatures living in small reservoirs of water are very much disturbed.
那么因为水分减少，还有呢，这个秋季里面这个太阳的灼热的这种炙烤，那么这些生活在这些小池塘里面这些小生物体啊，就受到很大的干扰。
They are exactly like uncontrolled persons who are always unhappy from being unable to enjoy life or maintain their family members.
他们呢就会像那些因为无法享受生活或者说无法维系家庭成员的人，他们变得非常的不快乐，因为这些人是毫不受控制的。
The muddy earth gradually dries up, and newly grown fresh vegetarian begins to wither.
那么这些泥土呢就会逐渐变得干起来，而且呢，这些新长的这些新鲜的蔬菜也会慢慢的凋谢。
Similarly, for one who has taken to Krishna consciousness, desire for family and drawing gradually dries up.
同样的，当一个人接受了 Krishna 知觉之后呢，他想要去享受家庭快乐的这种愿望也会逐渐的干掉，就会消失。
Because of the appearance of the autumn season, the water of the ocean becomes calm and quiet.
那么因为秋季的出现，这个大海的海水也会变得安静。
This is the same as a person developing self-realization and becoming free from disturbance by the three modes of material nature.
这跟一个人培养起自我觉悟的人一样，他因为他不再受到物质自然三形态的干扰了。
In autumn, farmers save the water within the field by building strong walls so that the water contained within the field cannot run out.
那么在秋天，这些农夫他们就会在这个他们的地的周围建起很强而有力的这种栅栏或者墙，这样呢，这个地里的这些水分就不会跑出去。
There's hardly any hope for new rainfall. Therefore, they want to save whatever is in the field.
那因为就会不会几乎不会再有新的这个雨水再降落了，所以呢，他们就想要保留住这个田地里面已经有的任何的水分。
Similarly, a person who has actually advanced in self-realization protects his energy by controlling his senses.
同样呢，一个在自我觉悟当中真正的非常进步的人呢，他就会通过控制自己的感官而去保护他的能量。
It is advised that after the age of 50, one should retire from family life and conserve the energy of the body for utilization in the advancement of Krishna consciousness.
所以呢，就建议说，在五十岁之后，一个人就应该从家庭生活当中退休，然后呢，会保留自己的精力，用来在 Krishna 知觉当中取得进步。
Unless one is able to control the senses and engage them in a transcendental loving service of Mukunda, there is no possibility of salvation.
除非一个人能够控制自己的感官，并且用这感官来从事对Mukunda的超然爱心服务，否则的话，那是不可能获得解脱的。
During the daytime in autumn, the sun is very scorching, but at night, due to the clear moonshine, people get relief from the day's fatigue.
在秋天的白天，这个太阳非常的灼热，但是到了晚上，由于这个清晰的月光，人们就会从一天的疲惫当中得到缓解。
Similarly, a person who takes shelter of Mukunda or Krishna can be saved from fatigue by misidentifying the body with the self.
同样的，如果一个人脱离于 Mukunda 或者 Krishna 的话，他就能够从将自己误认与错误的认同这个躯体的这种而产生的这种疲惫当中得到拯救。
Mukunda or Krishna is also the source of solace for the damsels of Vrindavan.
Mukunda 或者 Krishna 他也是这个 Vrindavan 的这些少女的安慰的源头。
The damsels of Brajabhumi are always suffering because of separation from Krishna. When they meet him during the moonlit autumn night, their fatigue and separation is relieved.
那么 Brajabhumi 呢，就这些少女、这些女子啊，她们因为跟 Krishna 的分离，所以在受苦。但是呢，当她们在充满月光的这个晚上见到 Krishna 的时候，这种分离，由于分离而带来的疲惫也会得到缓解。
When the sky is clear of all clouds, the stars at night shine very beautifully.
当天空里面没有任何云彩的时候，那么这个晚上的这个星星也就会闪出美丽的光芒。
Similarly, when a person is actually situated in Krishna consciousness, he is cleared of all dirty things, and he becomes as beautiful as the stars in the autumn sky.
同样的，当一个人真正的处在 Krishna 知觉当中的时候，他就完全摆脱了所有的污染，而且呢，他就会像秋季天空中的星星一样美丽。
Although the Vedas contain instructions for pursuing knowledge, jnana, for practicing mystic yoga, and for engaging in karmic activities in the form of sacrifices, the ultimate purpose of the Vedas is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. One has to accept Krishna consciousness after thoroughly studying the Vedas.
虽然说韦达经它描述了就是以从事这个苦从以济世而出来的这种业报， 但是呢他们这个国家梵歌里却描述他的终极目标，也就是说一个人在彻底的理解了伟大经的目的之后呢，他就应该接受 Krishna 拒绝。
Therefore, the clean heart of a devotee in Krishna consciousness can be compared to the clean sky of the autumn season.
所以说呢，处在 Krishna 拒绝当中的奉献者，当他们的心，他们洁净的心展示出来这种洁净的心，就可以被比作是秋季的晴朗的天空。
During autumn, the moon looks very bright along with the stars in the clear sky.
在秋季的时候呢，那么空中这个晴万里无云的这种空中的这种月亮看和这些星星在一起，显得非常的明亮。
Lord Krishna himself appeared in the sky of the Yadu dynasty, and he was exactly like the moon surrounded by the stars and the members of the Yadu dynasty.
当 Krishna 出现在亚杜王朝的这个天空本人，当 Krishna 主 Krishna 本人显现在亚杜王朝的这个天空的时候，他受到亚杜王朝的成员的围绕，就好像群星围着月亮一样。
When there are ample blooming flowers in the gardens and the forest, the fresh aromatic breeze gives a great relief to the person who has suffered during the summer and rainy seasons.
当森林的花园里面充满了怒放的鲜花的时候，这种清新的芳香的这种微风就会给那些由于夏季或者雨季而带来所有的痛苦的这些人给予他们巨大的缓解。
Unfortunately, such breezes could not give any relief to the gopis because of their heart's dedication to Krishna.
不幸的是，这种微风却不能给那些已经完全把心交给 Krishna 的这些牧牛姑娘们带来任何的缓解。
People in general might have taken pleasure in that nice autumn breeze, but the gopis, not being embraced by Krishna, were not very much satisfied.
一般来说，人们他们会非常喜欢这种秋季的微风，但是呢，这些 gopi 们因为没有得到 Krishna 的拥抱，他们却不是很满足。
On the arrival of the autumn season, all the cows, deer, birds, and females in general become pregnant, because in that season, all the husbands generally become impelled by sex desire.
在秋季到来的时候，所有的奶牛、还有小鹿、鸟以及一般的女性，她们都会怀孕，因为在这个季节呢，通常情况下，所有的丈夫都会受到性欲的驱使。
Such pregnant females are exactly like the transcendentalists, who, by the grace of the Supreme Lord, are bestowed with the benediction of their destinations in life.
那么这些怀孕的女子呢，她们就好像是这些超然主义者一样，因为得到了至尊主的仁慈，她们就被赐予了她们生命的目的地的这种祝福。
Srila Rupa Goswami has instructed in his Upadeshamrita.That one should execute devotional service with great enthusiasm, patience, and conviction.
Srila Rupa Goswami 在他的教诲的甘露这本书里面训示到说，一个人应该带着巨大的热情、耐心和信心去从事奉献服务。
One should follow the rules and regulations, keep oneself clean from material contamination, and stay in the association of devotees.
一个人应该遵守这些规范原则，让自己完全免于物质的污染，而且呢是处在奉献者的联谊之中。
By following these six principles, one is sure to achieve the desired result of devotional life.
通过遵守这些原则，一个人肯定就能够得到奉献服务预想的结果。
For him who patiently follows regular principles of devotional service, the time will undoubtedly come when he will achieve the desired result.As a female's reap results by becoming pregnant.
如果一个人他耐心的去遵守奉献服务的规范原则的话，那么得到结果的这个时刻就必定会到来，就好像这些妻子们就通过怀孕而得到他们的结果一样。
During the autumn, the lotus flowers in the lakes grow in large numbers because of the absence of lilies.
那么在秋季的时候，因为这个湖里面在这个时候不再有百合花了，所以呢，这莲花就会大批大批的长出来。
Both the lilies and the lotus flowers grow by sunshine, But during the autumn season, the scorching sunshine helps only the lotus.
通常的这个百合和莲花都是在阳太阳光的下面，它们就会成长。但是呢，与这种秋季的这种灼热的阳光呢，它只帮助莲花。
This is compared to a country where the king or the government is strong. The unwanted elements like thieves and robbers cannot prosper.
现在就被比作就像一个在一个国家里面，如果这个国王或政府他非常的强壮的话，那么这些不想要的这些因素，比如说贼呀，或者说盗窃犯啊，他们就没法繁荣。
When the citizens become confident that they will not be attacked by robbers, they develop with great satisfaction.
那么当这些臣民他们非常有信心，不会受到这些抢劫犯的攻击的时候呢，他们就会带着巨大，他们就会非常满足的发展。
A strong government is compared to the scorching sunshine in the autumn season.
有力的政府会比作为秋季灼热的下阳光。
The lilies are compared to unwanted persons like robbers, and the lotus flowers are compared to the satisfied citizens.
百合花呢就会被比作为这些不想要的这些人，就比如说这些盗窃犯之类的这些人，而莲花呢？则会被比作为这个国家的这些满足的公民。
During autumn, the fields become filled with ripening grain.
在秋季的时候呢，田野里面会到处都是成熟的这五谷。
At that time, the people become happy over the harvest and observe various ceremonies such as Navana, the offering of new grain to the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
在这个时候呢，人们就会非常快乐，因为看到这种庄稼的这种收获啊，还有看到就会变得非常的快乐，所以他们遵守各种各样的仪式，比如说 Navana， 也就是说像这尊人跟守神供奉新的谷物。
The new grain is first offered to the deities in various temples, and all are invited to take sweet rice made from this new grain.
那么这些新鲜的谷物呢，首先会被供奉给各个庙宇的里面的神像。然后呢，他们都会受到邀请去接受，也就是去吃这些新的谷物做成的甜奶饭。
There are other religious ceremonies and methods of worship, particularly in Bengal, where the greatest of all such ceremonies is held, called Durga Puja.
尤其是在孟加拉，它还有其他的一些宗教仪式或者崇拜方法。那么这里呢，最大的这些最伟。就在这时候呢，他们就会去进行那个最大的仪式，就比如说 Durga Puja。
In Vrindavan, the autumn season was very beautiful then because of the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna and Balaram.
在秋季的 Vrindavan 非常的美，在那个时候非常的美丽，因为有至尊人格守神 Krishna 和 Balaram 的存在。
The mercantile community, the royal order, and great sages were free to move about in order to achieve their desired benedictions.
一些商人社团啊，还有这些皇族的人啊，还有这些伟大的圣人，他们都会自由的四处移动，去得到他们预想的祝福。
Sarah, the transcendentalist, when freed from the engagement of the material body, also achieved their desired goal.
同样的，那些超然主义者，他们摆脱了物质躯体的囚禁，也得到了他们预想的目标，达到了他们预想的目标。
During the rainy season, the mercantile community cannot move from one place to another, and so do not get their desired profit.
在雨季的时候呢，这个商人社团他们就没办法从一个地方去到旅行到另外一个地方，所以呢，他们就没办法得到他们预想的。或者想要得到这一收益。
Nor can the royal order go from one place to another to collect taxes from the people.
这些皇室家族的人，他们也没有办法从一个地方到另外一个地方去从人们那儿收税。
As for saintly persons who must travel to preach transcendental knowledge, they are also restrained by the rainy season.
而那些他们一定得旅行去传播超然知识的人，这些圣人。他们也受到了雨季的限制。
But during the autumn, all of them leave their confines.
但是呢，当秋季到来的时候，他们所有的人就会离开这些限制。
In the case of a transcendentalist, be he a jnani, a yogi, or a devotee, because of the material body, he cannot actually enjoy spiritual achievement.
但是呢，在秋季，不，但在就是，在这个超人主义者这个情况之下呢，不管是一个思辨家，是一个瑜伽师，还是一个奉献者，因为他们的物质躯体，因为他们的物质躯体，所以呢，他们事实上无法享受到这个灵性的成就。
But as soon as he gives up the body, or after death, the jnani merges into the spiritual effulgence of the Supreme Lord.
但是呢，一当他放弃物质躯体，就是说或者说死亡之后呢，这个思辨家就会进入到至尊主的灵性光灿之中。
The yogi transfers himself to the various higher planets.
瑜伽师呢，总会把自己转到各种不同的更高星球里面。
And the devotee goes to the planet of the Supreme Lord, Goloka Vrindavan.Or one of the Vaikunthas, and thus enjoys the eternal spiritual life.
而这些奉献者呢，他们则会进入到至尊主的一个星球，进入到至尊主的星球，就 Goloka Vrindavan， 或者说其中的一个 Vaikuntha， 然后呢，在那里享受着永恒的灵性的生活。
So with that, we end the chapter.
那么这一章就在这里结束了。
But there are some points to be made.
但是呢，也有几个要点我们可以说一说。
The first is that Sukadeva Goswami, he very masterfully makes comparisons between the descriptions of Autumn and Braja and various aspects of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness.
第一点呢，我们就讲这个 Sukadeva Goswami， 他就非常精湛的把这个 Braja 的这个秋季的各种各样的特征、各种各样的方面，跟 Krishna 知觉的各个方面的哲学做了对比。
And Srila Prabhupada, he saw this as such a relevant and powerful preaching tool that he turned it into what we now know as the light of the Bhagavat.
那么 Srila Prabhupada 就能够非常的很好的把这一切看作了这个传教的这个工具，所以呢，现在就有了我们知道这个《博迦梵之光》这本书。
So there's a history behind this.
所以呢，这个之后是有一段历史的。
In 1961, Srila Prabhupada was invited to the Congress for Cultivating the Human Spirit in Japan.
在1961年的时候，圣帕帕曾经受到一个邀请去日本开一个什么会议。
And Srila Prabhupada thought that since most of the participants were from the Orient,And that they are fond of hearing descriptions of nature and the autumn season, that this would be appealing to them.
那么当时呢，圣帕帕就想着，在这个会议的很多的这些参与者呢，都会是东方的人，他们对于什么他们对于秋天啊，这各种各样的描述会感兴趣，所以呢，他就想到这一段描述会让他们喜欢。
So he chose this chapter, description of autumn.
所以呢。当时就选了这一章，就是关于秋天的描述。
And then she'll probably compose 48 commentaries to go along with the verses of the chapter.
然后呢，所以呢，圣帕帕就这个诗节的40个诗节，然后做了很40段描那个要旨描述评述。
And then he envisioned that there would be a qualified Oriental artist to illustrate each verse, and he wrote directions.From which the artist could design each painting.
那么他就想到了去找一些东方的一些有资格的艺术家来对每一个诗节来画出一幅画来，然后呢他自己就为这每一个诗节要求这个图画做出了一些指导。
Now due to circumstances beyond Srila Prabhupada's control, he was not able to attend that conference.
但后来呢，由于一些圣帕帕无法控制的一些因素，那么他没能去参加这个会议。
And this his work, The Light of the Bhagavat, it remained unpublished until many years after his disappearance.
所以呢，这个《博迦梵之光》这本书，这是在他隐居之后很多年之后才出版出来的。
Now, very interesting to note.That His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj He took up this work on behalf of the Hong Kong BBT.
但很有意思的是呢，是这个圣 Tamakrishna Goswami Maharaj， 他就代表香港的 BBT， 他就承担了这个工作。
I know this because at the time I was the temple president of the Hong Kong temple, and he was the GBC.
我之所以知道这个呢，是因为当时我是香港庙宇的庙长，而当时他呢是这个是那儿的 GBC.
These were in the first few years in which we were actually developing the yatra.
这个是我们在开发这个 yatra 的前面几年发生的。
So this is one of the many services that he performed.
所以呢，这就是他做过的很多的服务之一。
So he recruited a very famous Chinese artist by the name of Madam Li Yusheng to paint the illustrations.
他当时呢就请了一个中国非常著名的女画家叫做李永新，来做这个图画图示。
And he worked with her very closely and carefully viewed her sketches and gave her suggestions on how to improve.
他呢就非常密切地关注到她的工作，然后去评价她的这些画画，然后给她做提一些建议啊，让她这个画能够得到很多的改善。
So then the Light of the Bhagavat was actually published in Hong Kong for the first time in 1984.
所以呢，《博家凡之光》这本书啊，是第一首次是在1984年在香港出版的。
This is just one of the many important services that Tamakrishna Goswami Maharaj did for the Chinese people of the world.
那么，这个是 Tamakrishna Goswami Maharaj 为这个世界上的中国人做出了很多的服务之一。
And even to this day, it remains a very powerful preaching tool for the China mission.
而且即便是到现在，这对于中国使命的这本书对于中国使命也是一个很强而有力的传教的工具。
Because Prabhupada so masterfully weaved together this description of autumn, and he wrote such beautiful purports, and then eventually the paintings were done, and the whole thing was put together.So it's a very effective way of presenting Krishna consciousness to new persons.
那么因为当时圣帕巴那么精到的把这一章的这个对于秋天的描述的结合的那么好，然后把它们穿在一起，并且对各个时节做出了很多的描述，甚至到了后来，他还让人就是把这个每一个时节都做了这样的图画，所以呢，这是非常好的一种传教方式。
So all Pashadesh devotees, and especially those who are preachers, they should familiarize themselves with the work and they should use it regularly.
So, you know, Pashadesh, 所有的这些传教士，尤其那些还在很多奉献者，他们都应该让自己非常熟悉这本书这个内容，而且呢，要很好的去利用它。
So, as Prabhupada said,very often he coined this maxim. He said that books are the basis, and he said that preaching is the essence, purity is the force, and utility is the principle.
像圣帕巴经常会讲的这四句谚语，就是说，书籍是基础，传教是精髓，纯粹是力量。What's the last one? 纯粹是力量，实用为原则。
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a principle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's our basis for preaching is always Srila Prabhupada's books.
所以呢，我们传教的基础永远都是圣帕帕的书籍。
And the fact is that the essence of our preaching is that what we have learned from Srila Prabhupada through Srila Prabhupada and his followers.
事实呢，就是我们从学到的 Krishna 智慧的精髓，就是从帕布帕与他的追随者那里学到的。
And through Prabhupada's direction, if we actually follow his instructions to practice very good sadhana bhakti, then we will naturally become pure in heart.
那么通过帕帕的这个教导，如果我们很好的能够按照帕帕的训示去修习萨拉纳巴提的话，我们的心就会得到净化。
And as we become pure in heart, we will be able to see how to practically utilize everything in Krishna's service.
当我们的心得到纯受到净化的时候，然后自然而然的我们就会学会如何运用一切来服务于 Krishna。
This is real renunciation.
这才是真正的弃绝。
So what Rupa Goswami speaks of as Yukta Vairagya.
Rupa Goswami 就把这个称之为 Yukta Vairagya.
And he says that this is the only real complete form of renunciation.
他说这才是真正的完整的弃绝的这样一个形象形式。
To falsely renounce things which can be used in the service of Krishna.Is not real renunciation.
如果你虚假的去摒弃那些不能用来服务 Krishna 的事物，这不是真正的弃绝。
Real renunciation is to use every single thing within this world and every single person within this world in the service of Krishna.
真正的弃绝呢，就是运用这个世界上所有的事物以及所有的人来服务 Krishna.
As devotees of the Krishna Consciousness movement, actually, in some way, we're always preaching. We're always preaching to someone.
而作为 Krishna 知觉运动的奉献者，其实呢，我们不管以任何的方式，我们一直都是在传教，向某一个人传教。
And we should always be thinking how to utilize everything in Krishna service.
所以呢，我们应该总是想着怎么运用任何的事物来服务于 Krishna。
That is the mentality of the pure devotee。
这就是一个纯粹奉献者具备的心态。
We see how Srila Prabhupada taught this principle by his own example。
我们已经看到了圣帕帕是如何以亲身的榜样来教导这个原则的。
Before Srila Prabhupada, hardly anybody ventured out of India to preach bhakti.
在圣帕帕之前，几乎没有任何的人能够真正走出印度去传播奉爱。
And even those who attempted were not successful.
而即便那些做出尝试的人也没有取得成功。
But Prabhupada, he just...saw this principle of Yukta Vairagya and he adopted all things available to him to widely broadcast Krishna consciousness to the world.
但是呢，圣帕帕他却完美的运用了这个 Yukta Vairagya 这样一个原则，然后他把自己能够利用拿到的得到的这所有的一切都用来服务于 Krishna 这个服务于 Krishna 来拯救这个世界。
Travel around the world in jet aircraft.
比如说他会趁着飞机全世界旅行。
Use a dictaphone to translate his books.
他也会用这个听对讲机来翻译书籍。
He utilized a printing press to publish so many editions of his books in so many languages around the world.
那他还会用这个各个出版社来出版各种各样的书籍，并且在全世界以很多的语言都出版了。
He took the wealth of so many persons and engaged it in building so many beautiful, beautiful temples all around the world.
那他还运用了很多人的这种财富富裕，然后在全世界建了很多很多美丽的庙宇。
So he actually lived the principle of Yukta Vairagya.
所以呢，事实上他就是生活在这个 Yukta Vairagya 真正的弃绝这个原则之中。
And that is what we are all meant to do.
而这也就是我们大家应该做的。
But we have to be very careful.
但是呢，我们一定要非常的小心。
That we don't, take.Some type of false advantage of this.
我们千万不要错误的利用这个这一切。
Because one should not say that I'm following the principle of Yukta Vairagya, but using so many different aspects of material nature to simply satisfy his or her senses.
因为我们不应该错误地宣称自己是在 Yukta Vairagya 而去利用这个物质世界所有的事物来满足自己的感官。
That will simply entangle us.
这只会让我们更多的束缚，受到束缚。
So Prabhupada said that we should be able, as devotees, to collect $1,000,000 in one day and to also spend it in one day for Krishna without taking even 1 cent for our own sense gratification.
所以呢，圣婆妈就说，我们应该有这种能力，在一天为了 Krishna 而赚100,000美金，同时呢，在一天就把这100,000美金完全用来服务于 Krishna， 任何即便一分钱也不用来服务于自己的感官享乐。
So fortunate we have Srila Prabhupada's wonderful example of this.
所以我们非常的幸运，有圣婆妈作为这样一个美好这个美妙的榜样。
So much easier for us to do this because Prabhupada set the example.
那么因为圣婆婆她树立了这样一个榜样，所以呢，让我们做起来就容易了很多。
We have a living example of someone who lived Yukta Vairagya.
因为我们有这样一曾经有这样一个活生生的榜样，就现实的活在这个 Yukta Vairagya 这样的原则之中。
So we should follow in his footsteps.
所以我们就应该遵守追随他的步伐。
Not try to imitate, but to follow his instructions and his good example, and try to live our lives also in this mood of Yukta Vairagya.
当然不是说去模仿他，但是呢，我们要去听从他的训示，追随他的步伐。并且努力的也生活在这样一个 Yukta Vairagya 的原则之中。
So I think we will stop here.
那我想我们今天就讲到这里了。
And I think we will thank Gopikita Mataji for nice translation.
感谢 Gopikita 的翻译。
Gosh, it actually seems like she's just in the next room.
好像他就在隔壁房间一样。
And we want to thank Shashi Gopal Charan Prabhu for facilitating today's talk.
我们要感谢 Shashi Gopal Charan Prabhu 来为我们这个讲课提供这样一个条件。
He's always the background working his magic to make sure that we are always present, ever present on the net.
他呢一直在背后做他的这个魔术工作，然后让我们一直就存在这个网络，通过网络而存在。
And of course, we have to thank all of you for listening and receiving this transcendental message.
当然，我们要感谢大家的聆听，来接受这门超然的知识。
So I pray, Krishna willing, we'll be able to meet again soon.
那么我祈祷，如果 Krishna 愿意的话，我们能够很快再见。
1 week today is Janmashtami.
那么下一个星期一呢是 Janmashtami.
So wherever you are in your respective areas throughout Kashi Desh, we wish you a very blissful celebration.
当时候不管在你们在 Kashi Desh 的每一个任何的一个地方，我们都祝愿大家在那天有一个非常好的庆祝。
I
couldn't hear you.
I said, we pray that you are deeply immersed in hearing and chanting.
祈祷大家都深刻地沉浸在聆听和唱诵之中。
That is the real purpose, Srila Prabhupada said, to follow these spiritual days, worship days.
这就是我们的目的，因为圣婆婆说我们要在这样的日子要很好的去庆祝这样的灵性的日子。
And perhaps of all the different, days of worship, probably Janmashtami is probably the most important.
在所谓的崇拜的这个日子当中呢，那么可能Janmashtami可以说是最重要的一个日子。
For us, the birth of Lord Krishna and also the birth of Lord Chaitanya, and of course of Srimati Radharani, probably would you would say are the top three festivals of the year.
那么可能对于我们奉献者来说，像 Krishna 的显现日、主持人参加的显现日，那当然可能还有 Radharani 的显现日，可能呢就可以说是这三个节日是最为重要的。
是的。
所以呢，我们应该好好的利用它们。当然了，圣帕瓦的显现日也是非常也同样的重要。
So next week we get the opportunity for both Sri Janmashtami and also we have Srila Prabhupada's appearance day, his Vyas Puja.
那么下个星期呢，我们就会有机会庆祝这两个节日，也就是Sri Janmashtami 还有Srila Prabhupada 的Vyas Puja.
So that does take full advantage of those.
那么让我们大家充分的去利用这个日子。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Are we going to have a class next Monday?
We shall see.
Okay. 亲爱的奉献者们，感谢大家聆听伊达尔玛这么精彩的 Krishna Book 的对这个秋天的描述。我们下次再见。Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.